Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory and power and majesty and dominion. And Lord, surrender. We need to surrender our hearts to you this morning. And so, Lord, speak to each one of us individually. Lord, breathe into us new life. Father, we grow weary. We leak. We get empty. Lord, refill our tanks. Holy Spirit, refill us, Lord, and empower us, Lord, to go out into the world and make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, hey, good morning. It's great to have y'all here. It's no better place than in the Lord's house. Yeah, amen. Okay, a couple announcements. The men's retreat. Listen, I'm telling you guys, you really need to pray about going. We leave Thursday, and then we come back Saturday afternoon. But I'll tell you, it'll change your life. It'll be one of those markers in your life where you go, man, things really changed for me on that day. When you take 3 days and just focus on the Lord, God's going to do something. So one thing we like to do is come up with excuses why not to go, but that's another story. Hey, listen, the balance is due, so please go to the registration. And by the way, maybe you're like, you know, I want to go, but I can't afford it. We have some sponsorships ready to go for people that won't. Listen, we leave no man behind, okay? We're like the military. Also, listen, we're going to have some guys carpooling. You're like, well, I don't think my car will make it. That's fine. We got carpooling. If you need any information on carpooling, go back to the table. They're going to leave at 11 o'clock or 11:30, something like. Just go to the table. They'll tell you all the information. Also, hey, tomorrow, no men's study at 6 o'clock. But ladies, you are continuing to study both tomorrow night and Tuesday, so keep that in mind. And by the way, on the 25th, when we come back, there's a new women's study starting up. The books are available in the back in the bookstore. You can go pick those up. Friday the 28th, from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m., the youth are going to have a lock-in. So if you have some kids and you want to get them out of the house and let them be someone else's problem, get them down here. No, listen, they're going to have a blast. They're going to have a great time. So that's Friday the 28th from 7 in the evening till 7 in the morning. And if you need any information, go over to the youth department, talk to Pastor Steve and Desiree. They'll give you the additional information. A couple more things real quick. We have a couple here in our church, Scott and Heather. If you don't know them, they're sitting right in the front right there. Okay. They have been blessed. They just bought a house. They could use it. Yeah, woohoo! And they can tell you the story is pretty cool, how God arranged that. It's definitely a miracle. But they just bought a house. They could use a hand or a couple of hands or several hands on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. to move some of the bigger stuff from their apartment or house where they're living now to the new house that they bought. So if you're willing to help them Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., they would love that. So, or you can just go talk to them after service, not during the teaching. One last thing before we dive into our message this morning. Pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. Now, I'm going to say something. It may rub you the wrong way. Most of you shouldn't if you're Bible students. But if you're listening to media that's telling you that Israel is wrong, you are listening to the wrong media. Israel is not wrong. Israel is in the right, and God's hand is upon them, and they will be victorious. And I'll just tell you, yes, amen. God blesses those who bless Israel. And I'll tell you, even a couple of people who have not blessed Israel, they've lost their primetime spot, news spot, because they have not been blessing Israel. I'm going to run with that. I don't have time to develop that. But I'll tell you, I'm really praying about doing a prophecy update maybe when I come back from the men's retreat. Please pray about that. It's so much. I don't know. It may be an extended service. We'll talk. Well, I'll pray and know. There's so much going on. But that's what I would ask, that you would pray for Israel. So with that, let me pray right now before we dig into our message this morning. Father God, Lord, I pray first of all for our hearts to be changed. I pray for America, and Lord, I pray for Israel and all that it is going through, the battle that is enduring right now. And so, Father, I pray for them. I also pray for marriages and the battles that they are enduring. Gosh, I'm struggling this morning. But, Father, thank you that you're going to speak to us, that you are going to show us, that you are going to, Lord, help us to grow in our walk. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've entitled our message, the Lord said, hey, don't go back to Revelation just yet. So I've entitled our message, Love and Marriage. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Now I'm not going to do my in-depth type of study. I'm going to skim over Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 32. I've broken our section down into two sections, wives, 22 through 24, and husbands, 25 through 32. Now, some of you might be going, marriage? I thought it was Revelation. Martha, you go get the kids, I'll get the car, and I'll meet you outside. Ushers, lock the door. Nobody's leaving. Listen, not only is the enemy attacking Israel, not only is the enemy attacking the youth of this nation, the enemy is attacking marriages. And so the Lord really put it on my heart to go, you know what, do a message on marriage. And I said, okay, Lord, so that's what we're going to do. I'm just going to read our verses just to get just a feel, and then I'm going to kind of break it down. To go through this, it would take more than one study, but I'm just going to give you kind of a Reader's Digest version. Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Already we got women going, ugh, I heard that. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Oh, gosh, that he might sanctify and cleanse her and wash her with the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, if you notice my graphic, I don't just do things just to be fun. You see a couple, and then you see an atom bomb behind them. Why? Because marriage is the bomb. But marriage can also be a bomb if it's done wrong. Listen, marriage is a threefold ministry. It's for procreation, it's for illustration, and it's for sanctification. Procreation, we bear children, and then we learn things from our children because God is our Father and we are his children. So there are lessons in that. illustration, as we read here, that marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Sanctification, if you don't know what that means, it means the process of being made holy. Listen, in marriage, you learn very quickly that you have to learn how to forgive. If you don't learn how to forgive, atom bomb, not the good kind. It's very important. Now, I just want to show you something that maybe, you know, just reading this verse without taking verses before or verse after, you kind of miss something. Real quick, at the beginning of chapter 5, we're in Ephesians 5, look at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God. Guess what that is? Illustration. As dear children, procreation. And walk in love, sanctification. So you got the illustration, procreation, and sanctification right there in verse 1. So it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and gave himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. That is before we look at marriage. That's a great backdrop for marriage. We are to imitate God in our marriage, husbands and wives, And I'm going to show you that here in a moment. That's the verses before, but let's look at verses after. If you turn over to chapter 6, check this out. In verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So after the marriage verses, it says, hey, you better put on the armor. Why? Because it's going to be a battle. So in the middle of walking in love and putting on the whole armor, you have marriage. Marriage and parenting. Listen, both those things are a battlefield. I guess Pat Benatar was right. Love is a battlefield. Let me share a story with you. An older man in Oklahoma calls his son, who is in New York, and he says, son, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are getting a divorce after 45 years of marriage. That's as much misery. That's enough misery. The son says, dad, what are you talking about? And the father says, well, we can't stand the sight of each other any longer. We're sick of each other. And I'm sick about talking about this. So call your sister in Hong Kong and you tell her. Frantically, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. And she says, like heck, they're getting a divorce. I'll take care of this. She calls her father immediately and screams at him, you're not getting a divorce. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling brother back and we're both going to be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. You hear me? She yells and hangs up the phone. The father hangs up his phone and he turns to his wife. Okay, it's all set. They're both coming for Christmas and we don't pay the fare. And we don't have to pay the airfare. Just a tip. That's love in marriage. Let's look at wives, verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit. Right there is a problem for many, many women. In fact, men who are going to the retreat, we all get t-shirts that say, wives submit for when we come back. No, I'm teasing. No, it's not a good idea. Submission. You see, we have in America, we have the wrong idea of submission. We think of roots and kunta kinte. Yeah, that kind of submission. That is not. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit becomes our helper? The Holy Spirit becomes our helper, our helpmate. Remember, God made for Adam a helpmate? It's not an insult, ladies. If the Holy Spirit's willing to do that, what about the Son, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was in total submission to the Father. And guess what? Husbands, you're going to see here in a moment. Now, I want you to know, wives, submission is hard. It is not easy, especially for women. And I'll explain why in a moment. This is not a racist thing. It's a biblical thing, or sexist thing. It's a biblical thing. But the men are going to have a much more difficult task. Watch when we get there. But I want you to also see this. Before you go, oh, wives, submit. I'm a wife. I got to submit. Well, back up one verse from 22 to 21. Back up to verse 21. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. So ladies, you're not alone. The husband's also supposed to submit to you. How does that work? Well, think about our triune God. The Holy Spirit submits to the Father and the Son. The Son submits to the Holy Spirit and to the Father. There's this equal submission. The Bible says that in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he made himself of no reputation. And he says, I'm here to do the will of my Father. So see, it's not that you become a lesser person in the marriage. No, but there has to be a hierarchy. Why? Because there can't be two heads. A two-headed anything is a monster. So there has to be a hierarchy, and this is the hierarchy, and then we're going to see how beautifully it depicts Christ and the church. So it says, wives submit, check this out, to your own husband. To your own husband. Ladies, we all have to submit to authority. Yet, in your life, there comes God, your husband, and then any other authority. Too many times, listen, even ladies, you come and you counsel with the pastor, and your pastor tells you something arbitrary to the scripture or to what your husband's wants or desires, as long as what your husband wants isn't sinful, you're to submit to no one else but your own husband. And let me take that another step, okay? If you're not married, no man has marital status over you, ladies. And by the way, men, nowadays in today's society, that goes both ways. Men, if you're dating someone, that woman doesn't have marital status with you. She doesn't have, neither one of you have that ability to claim that. But pastor, if I don't give in, they'll find somebody else. Then I guess they don't love you, do they? If I don't do it, she'll find someone. He'll find someone else. But we do love each other, then get married. But I want to get married, but they don't want to get married. Then they don't love you. How simple is that? Well, it's complicated. Yes, it is complicated. Why? Because you don't get married. You continue to live like you're married. And then a year down the road, I'm counseling you because it got complicated when they left. I've seen it happen 100, if not 1,000 times. Of course, in my office, they argue with me. You don't understand, Pastor. We love each other. No, I understand. You lust each other. If you really loved each other, you'd want to be right before God. If you really loved each other, you wouldn't violate each other before God. It's complicated. Sure, sin is always complicated. Adam and Eve sinned, and now we suffer the complication. Yes, it's complicated. So it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. So if there's a man in your life, or men, if there's a woman in your life and you're not married, don't act like you're married. Because if you do, well, that's not good. You figure it out. But then it says, as to the Lord. See, the marriage is supposed to reflect the devotion that you have to Christ. The intimacy between a man and a woman is supposed to reflect our intimacy with Christ. It's a picture of how, here you go, How should the church respond to Christ? No woman, I want you to know this, this submission part, do you realize that no woman has ever perfectly submitted to her husband, starting with Adam and Eve? He said, hey, God told me we can eat anything, all the fruit, just not that tree right there. She goes, you're not going to control me. Now, some of you are thinking, well, geez, if every woman has failed, then I'm off the hook. Why should I try? No, that's not the way to think about this. Because I'm going to show you the husband's part. And you're going to, well, he better try. Well, listen, no husband has been a perfect husband. You want your husband to try to be a perfect husband? I pray you do, godly husband. Well, if you do, then send him to the men's retreat. Look at why a wife should submit to her husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. Therefore, here you go. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Pastor, in everything? In everything. This isn't slavery. This isn't called, Pastor, that's slavery. No, it's called humility. If the Holy Spirit is willing to do it, if the Lord Jesus is willing to do it, and remember at the beginning of this chapter, it says, be imitators of God. You and I, and by the way, remember in verse 21, it says, submitting one to another. Your husband's to submit to you too. We haven't gotten there yet. We're working on you, ladies. I saved the best for last. Or should I say the Holy Spirit has. Should the church, because it says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husband and everything. Here you go. Should the church dictate to the Lord what he should do? Oh, we try. The church tries. It does. I know there have been times when our church, I realized, whoa, you know what? We're going in a direction that God hasn't given us a green light for. That's why I asked my leadership, hey, let's pray before we do this thing or go this way. Make sure God, that's the way God, instead of going, hey, God, we're doing this thing. Come and join us. No, that's dictating to God. No, we say, God, do you want us to go that way? Is that the way you're going? Because we want to join you. So you just said, should a church dictate to the Lord? No. Should a church demand from the Lord? No. Wives, you shouldn't dictate to your husband or demand. Quack, 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 quack. You're like, oh, man. Listen, the same is true for you. No, you shouldn't dictate. You shouldn't demand. But here's some thoughts. Let me share with you why sometimes women feel like they need to dictate to their husband. I'm going to share with you some women thoughts. I picked this. These are not my thoughts. I found these online. These are women's thoughts about men. You're already laughing. What do you call a man with half a brain? Gifted. What should you give a man who has everything? A woman to show him how to work it. Why do men like smart women? Because opposites attract. What is the difference between Bigfoot and an intelligent man? Some claim to have seen a Bigfoot. These are women. I don't agree with these. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's a biblical secret. If you've been coming here for any time, you know where I'm going. But if you're new here, I'm going to show you something that you may have never, ever, ever been taught or may have never seen. Because I've never heard anyone pick this out. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. This is the curse to Eve for what she did. Look at what God says. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains of childbearing very severe. Can you imagine? I guess prior to Eve's fall, women would have just popped little children out like Pop-Tarts. You know, just like, it might not have been painful. But evidently, because of what you did, what she did, I will make your pains of childbearing very severe. Ladies, is childbearing pain very severe? Just a little? Yeah? Okay. With painful labor, you will give birth. Then it says this. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, I had a lady, well-meaning. She goes, I just love that verse. My desire is for my husband. Oh, he's so dreamy. That's not what that means. Let me prove it to you. Turn over to the very next chapter, chapter 4 of Genesis. Remember Cain and Abel? God comes to Cain. And he says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Watch this. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. The exact same Hebrew phrase. Now, does that mean that Cain is going, oh, sin is so dreamy? No. What it means is sin wants to control his life, but he's supposed to rule over sin. Women, you can't help it. Your desires for your husband, you want to rule over him, but you can't help it. It's a curse. And you go, yay. I'm so glad I came today. You go, well, then that's it. It's a curse. Just like childbirth, I can't help it, so he's just going to have to deal with me controlling him. No. You see, you got to understand, Christ died to free us of the curse. Oh. When you receive the Lord, you die. You are to pick up your cross. You're to crucify your own emotions, your own natural inclination to want to control him. You are to become a new woman. A superwoman. A humble woman. And you're like, Pastor, that is just too hard. Boy, the men have it easy. Well, let's look at the men. You ready? The men all go, I got to go to the bathroom. Is that coffee I smell? Husbands, in verse 25 through 32. Husbands, love your wife. They go, yeah, I love my wife. I can't tell you how many times in counseling a couple comes in and the wife will say, I don't think he loves me anymore. Why do you say that? He used to say he loves me all the time. He used to bring me flowers. He used to leave me notes. He used to do all these things. He doesn't do it. And the husband says, sure, I love you. I'm here, aren't I? I work and pay the bills, don't I? Some of you are laughing, and then the laughing stopped. Notice it says, husbands, love your wife. It doesn't say, husbands, be around your wife. It doesn't say, husbands, provide for your wife. No, 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 no. It says, husbands, love your wife. Why? Notice it says, wives, submit. It's also respect. You are to respect your, and we see this echoed in 1 Peter chapter 3. respect. Show your husband respect. Why? Because you want to naturally control him. Men, you know what we naturally do? We're providers. We're hunters. It's natural for us. We want to hunt. That's why men love to hunt. And what does a man do when he goes hunting? Well, he spends lots of money to bag that doe. Sound familiar? He buys an outfit, camouflage. He buys a new shirt to go to that restaurant, right? A hunter puts on the scent. What scent? Deer urine. But when he goes to the restaurant, you know, he puts on some polo or some Prince Machiavelli. As I dated myself just then. Oh, and then the hunter, he makes sure that there's good feed in that feeder. Right? Doesn't the when you're dating, when you're going trying to bag that dough, you take her to the best restaurants? Get this. What else does a hunter do when he's going after that dough? He's patient. But after marriage, there's no patience. Are you ready? Can we leave already? But when you're dating her, oh, you take your turn, your time. You got to be beautiful. Oh, you're so beautiful. Patience. But then what happens, men? We bag the dough and she's hanging on the wall. You know, our trophy wife. Our friends come over. Man, you got a great wife. Yeah, dude, look at her. And then you ignore her the rest of the time. You walk around, now your underwear has holes in it. Your idea of a nice restaurant is not going through the drive-thru. My wife, on our anniversary one time, I said to her, honey, where do you want to go eat? She goes, I don't care, somewhere expensive. So I took her to the airport and bought her a hot dog. It was expensive. I'm messing, that never happened. As far as you know. All right. Okay, so husbands. All right, here you go. A husband now can't just be there, can't just provide. You have to continue to put on the cologne and the nice shirt. Wine and dine, nice things. Bless her. Tell her she's beautiful on a regular basis. Appreciate her beauty. Not, I'm here, aren't I? Then look, it gets even heavier. Watch. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Oh. So look, how did Christ, we are the church, right? How did Christ love the church? Well, he provides, yes, he does do that, and he protects, and he feeds. Yep. And he gets down and he washes the feet of his bride. That's huge. Isn't that huge? That goes against our nature. That it really does. We're hunters. But that's not all. It gets harder. Watch this. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Notice it doesn't say, give her flowers. Give her pots and pans. Well, by the way, pots and pans are important if you want to eat. But that's not what you're to give. Or a vacuum. No. None of those things are bad. But he didn't just give those things. He did give gifts. He brought healing and he brought food and he brought teaching and he brought a covering and he brought acts of love, washing the feet and tender forgiveness. But he did more than that. He died on the cross. Yet while we were sinners, before I was saved, I hurled the most nasty insults at Jesus, at the Holy Spirit, and at God. And you know what he did? He took it. He never fired back. Men, how about this? When your wife says you're a loser, you're this, you're that, because she wants to control you and she can't help it. Instead of going, How dare you? Do you know who I am? Do you know how hard I work? You know I could. No, Jesus never did that on the cross. What did he do? He said nothing. He took it. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You love your wife. I want to tell you, I don't have that down. But I'm improving. When my wife and I first got married, our first years were a living hell. Why? Because I was not Christ to my wife. Every little thing she said, I fired back. I'm a hunter. But then slowly God started to teach me that I needed to hold my tongue. I needed to take it. I needed to be Christ to her. And guess what? The water smoothed. Every now and then, there's a tsunami. But we get past that, and the water's smooth. But he gives us some clues. Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Men, you are to bring the word of God into your marriage. You are. That's why Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this. The one may be overpowered by the other, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken, not quickly broken. A threefold cord, husband, wife, Holy Spirit in the middle. Too often we go, well, we go to church. And guess what? You don't fight in church, do you? No. Why? Because you're bringing the Holy Spirit into the middle of your relationship while you're in church. As soon as you get home, if this is the only amount of God's Word and Holy Spirit, as soon as you get home, bang, bang, tsunami. But bring the Word of God into your home. Men, you are to wash her, cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. That's why we always say at weddings that the husband is the priest of the home. You're to bring the word. You're to bring in conversations about God into your marriage. If all you ever talk about is finances and all your complaints about your job, then no wonder you're at each other's throat. There's no Holy Spirit there. That's why, when I counsel couples, one of the pieces of homework I give them is when you come to church, go home and talk about what you got out of the message. Why do I do that? So that they'll come and listen to me? No. So that you get used to talking about godly things at home. Bringing God into your home. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Husbands, you need to wash your wife in the water of the word. That is your responsibility. It's not even a choice. Let me ask you, when was the last time the word of God was spoken about, prayed about, read out loud in your home? Men, you are responsible. See, ladies, it's a lot harder for them, isn't it? You just got to sit back and say, he's not doing it. I'm just submitting. See? Isn't that cool? Verse 27, we're going to take a few verses in a chunk now. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, without blemish. So a husband ought to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bone. Now, I know right now there's some guy out there who's been struggling with his wife. And he's saying, Pastor Andy, I don't love myself. I think I need to learn how to love me before I can love her. Quack, 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 quack. Wrong. Here you go. Or wife. It could go either way. You think you don't love yourself? Let me ask you a couple of questions. Did you eat yesterday? You did? Some of you are like, no. Well, you're going to eat today then. Otherwise, you're going to die. So if I said, did you eat yesterday? Or did you eat the day before? Did you eat this week? Someone's going to be, I didn't eat for 2 days. Oh, you're so skinny. You're shriveling away. No. Did you eat? Yes. Are you going to eat today? Yes. Okay, maybe you didn't eat. You haven't eaten all year. Okay, great. Did you brush your teeth? Did you brush your teeth? No. Woo. I would say let's counsel, but I'll pass. Did you brush your hair? Did you comb your hair? Some of you are like, I don't have hair. Did you polish your head? If you did any of those things, you know what that means? You love yourself. People come to me all the time. Oh, nice shirt, hair all done. I can tell maybe they brushed their teeth a week ago, but they did it at one time. I don't love myself. No, the problem, you know why we get depressed and say, I don't love my, no, we don't love our circumstances. We think we deserve better. That's why we get depressed. If you really hated yourself, you'd be like, yeah, this is what I deserve. I'm happy with this. I don't deserve anything better. No, we get depressed because we're like, gosh, I work and I try and this is all I get. It's self-love. That's what it is. You love yourself. Now love your spouse. Take care of them. I love one of the things Jennifer and I do. We'll be in the bedroom. We'll be doing whatever. She's laying down or I'm working on the computer. And she'll get up or I'll get up to go get something to drink. And we always go, honey, do you want something? We go out, hey, do you want some? Why? If I'm thirsty, maybe she's thirsty. And it's a little thing, but it's those little things that add up. If I just go and get some, meet something to drink and sit down, did you get me? Nah, you get it yourself. I'm here, aren't I? But even beyond that, washing with the water of the Word, bringing the Word of God into your home. Verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I'm going to hit you in the breadbasket. Ready for this? When I counsel a couple, and they come into my office, and they say, he has his money, and I have my money, and he has his account, and I have my account. I get my paycheck. I pay for this and that. I'm like, hold the phone. Look, let me tell you what God says. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become, dun-dun-da-da, one flesh. I don't have two bank accounts that my left hand knows what's in one and my right hand knows what the other. I have one bank account. Well, we have more. We have a savings and a checking. But you get the idea. What's mine is hers. What's hers is mine. It's ours. I don't go that this is mine and that's yours. How is that one flesh? That's a division in your home. I'm telling you right now, knock it off. Well, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You don't understand the Word of God. It's not an option. It's a supernatural thing that happens when two get married. And I'm telling you, when I see that, it's just a matter of time. I hope I didn't hit the breadbasket too hard. Oh, okay. Then he says this, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ and the church. Your marriage is to be a picture of Christ and the church. Do you think that here at HBC we ever go, you know, okay, we have a bank account for God and his money, and then we have a bank account that's the church's money. If we did that, you need to find another church if we ever do that. No, it's all his. Where I live is his. My car is his. My payment is his. It's all his. Why? Because we're to be one body. One body of Christ. Your marriage is supposed to even far exceed that. It's a mystery. It's a picture of Christ and the church. Well, Pastor, I can't do that. Then don't be obedient to God's word. I'm sorry. That's between you and God. But don't tell me that you're godly and seeking the Lord if you're not going to obey. No, Pastor, I'll just obey the parts I like. Well, that's not this church. You believe it all. You receive it all. You obey it all. Not perfectly. None of us are perfect. Now, I want to show you something real quick. Watch this. This is a great mystery, and it is, by the way. I'm really not doing this justice. It really would take, you know, two or three sermons to really kind of get all the meat out of this. But it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So let's look at, I ran across this verse. I wasn't even looking for my study verse. I just, in my reading, I ran across this and I was like, oh my gosh. I saw something here and I want to share it with you that I think is very applicable. Now you probably heard this verse a million times. Listen to this. Psalm 136, verse 26. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Now, you've heard that a million times. I have. But all of a sudden, I read it this week, and my eye locked on that word endures. When I endure something, it's because it's not fun. I have to endure it. Hey, how'd you like the movie? I endured it. He says, his mercies endure forever. Why? Because listen, you and I, we're difficult. We sin, but God doesn't give up on us. His mercies just keep on enduring despite us. That's a picture of Christ in the church. Because we don't make it easy. We don't make it easy even in our marriages, men, ladies. Listen, you've heard this said. You go up to a couple who's been married for years, and they'll say, you go, gosh, how did you do it? And they'll look at you and they'll laugh. And they'll say, marriage is hard work. It is hard work. Why? Because sometimes in a marriage you have to endure. Just like God endures. Numbers 14, 18 says this. The Lord is long suffering. How does he suffer? Long. Why? Because I'm a sinner. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving the iniquities and transgressions. Now, that's God and the church. That's supposed to be a picture of a husband and a wife, long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. Whew. Intense. Or how about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Sometimes in your marriage, maybe it's a rough marriage. I had 3 years. My wife had 3 years of rough marriage. But we endured, and we were long-suffering. But you get past that if you die to yourself. For real. Marriage is dying to self. Marriage is work. I know we stopped at verse 32. Look at verse 33. Let's add this. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ladies, if you don't respect your husband, someone else will. That's where fault comes in. Faltering. Not that that excuses a husband. It's never an excuse. You are to take it. But some men are weak. Some men aren't willing to die to themselves. You know, maybe your husband's colorblind. And you look at him, really? What, are you colorblind? Are you going to wear that? Instead of, honey, you know, that you look so much better in that green, you know, the blue shirt. But then I go to work and I've got, you know, some gal comes up and says, wow, green plaid and an orange shirt. What, are you a bowler? You look great, though. You could pull it off. Only you can pull it off, Pastor. All of a sudden, you know, if I'm weak, I could succumb to that. I won't, but God willing, I won't. But you get the idea? Ladies, respect your husband. He wants your respect. He wants to feel like he's your man. Because if you don't do that, someone else will. Men, you need to love your wife with a tenderness and an understanding. Why? Here's what will happen. She's having problems with you and your marriage. All of a sudden, there's some man in the church who's a godly man, and she goes to seek counsel, and all of a sudden, he has all the answers. Isn't he dreamy? He understands me. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. We are built to want these things. A man wants respect. A lady wants love. God says, good, you can give it to each other.
Well, I'm here, aren't I?
No. Let me add one more thing. A couple more things. If you need counsel, maybe your marriage is rocky. There's a lot of turmoil, okay? Find one godly person. Now, if they're godly, let me let you know this. If you're going to a godly person, you know what they're going to want? They're going to want your spouse to come in whenever he or she can. Why? Because they're really concerned about mending your marriage. But if you're going to a counselor, and especially if it's the opposite sex, and they're not saying, hey, bring the spouse in, you're in danger, Will Robinson. Here's the other thing. Men, watch out for flattering lips. Women, watch out for an understanding man. Here's another thing. If you have a problem in your marriage, find one godly counselor. If you're going to this person and complaining about your spouse, oh, and then that person, and then that, well, I'm just seeking counsel. No, you aren't. You're trying to tarnish the reputation of your spouse and get people to side with you. You are a liar. And you don't love your spouse. Love covers a multitude of sin. Find yourself one godly person who will call both of you in to work on your marriage and build up a marriage. Don't go to 10 different people. Don't go to 5 different people. Go to one. And if that person decides you need another person involved, like sometimes someone will come and I'll suggest that the wife meet with my wife. I've added one person, but it's my equal, it's someone who's one with me. So I'm really not adding someone else because I don't keep anything from my wife. And she didn't keep anything from me. So it's still within the one to become one flesh. So don't hear me in this, please. If you go around to more than one godly person, you are gossiping, you are slandering, and you're not loving your spouse. Plain and simple. That needs to stop. So, guys, if you know a guy or you are a guy who's looking for a gal, you better look for a gal you're willing to die for. And what do I mean? Not stand in front of a bullet, but kneel and wash your feet. Die to yourself. Gals, if you are looking for a guy, you need to find one you are willing to submit to because you see Christ in him. If you're not willing to submit to him, do not get married unless you want a battle right from the get-go. Why? Because marriage is work. Love is wonderful. It is. But it also takes work. Let me illustrate with a story as I begin to wind down. Do not close your mind. You're going to want to hear this. A very rude and ungodly farmer died one day. And it was discovered in his will that he left his farm to the devil. The court didn't quite know what to do with his request. How do you give a farm to the devil? Finally, the judge decided the best way out, the best way to try and grant him his wishes, was to allow the farm to grow weeds, the soil to erode, the house and the barn to rot. The judge said, in our opinion, that's the best way to leave something to the devil is to do nothing. Brothers and sisters, the best way to turn your marriage over to the devil is to do nothing. It's to not be willing to obey God, not willing to die to yourself, not willing to submit to your spouse, not willing to seek godly counsel when it's needed. No, you know what? I'm just going to brush it under the table. No, no. Listen, if you want your marriage to be the bomb and not a bomb, you got to give it over to the Lord. And He can make marriage a joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word is alive. Your word is true. Your word is what we have to obey. And Lord, if we don't obey it, then that's our issue. We can't cry. We can't do anything but blame ourselves. Lord, thank you for the lessons that we have in parenting, in marriage. Thank you for the lessons that we have from your son and his sacrifice on the cross. And now, Lord, I pray for each person in this room that they would be attentive to every word that is in your word, that is in the Bible, that is in your book, that is the instruction and correction, the exhortation for our learning. God, I pray that we would apply it and that we would live it. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Lord Jesus, we adore you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you need prayer this morning, I want to encourage you, please come and get with one of these deacons up here. They would love to pray with you. They'll keep not a time of counseling, just to seek prayer. They would love to pray with you. Other than that, have a great week. Don't forget men's retreat. And we'll see you next week. God bless. Let's stand and sing one last song.